views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Listening to the Psychic Professors Show, the Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes. This hit call-in show will answer any questions you have about spiritual communication through on-air readings and spirit artistry. Get ready to receive breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten your life. To say this show is educational is an understatement. Dr. Susan is the medium through which spirit communication occurs and fills the canvas of your life.
Everyone, I'm Dr. Susan Barnes, and you are listening to The Psychic Professor Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience the voices of spirit. Each week on Psychic Professor Show, we will have some of the most knowledgeable spiritual voices helping to answer your personal questions. And today, I am really pleased to have my good friend and spirit photographer extraordinaire, Shannon Taggart, here. And Shannon's going to tell you about some of her projects and how you are going to be able to see her work. So with that, welcome, Shannon.
Hi, thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. And you know what? I'm going to ask you this question because I know you can answer it. How has spirit influenced your life?
Surprisingly, it has led me on a 16-year journey to make a photography book about spiritualism. And I never expected to be disengaged with the topic and to have spent so much time photographing mediums and spiritualist practice, but it's been a pleasant surprise and one that's been really rewarding and exciting.
Why don't you tell everyone how this happened? I know I've heard the story, but they haven't.
So I was working as a photojournalist. Well, I guess I should start at the beginning. When I was 16 years old, and when I first started studying photography, my cousin went to Lilydale, New York, which is the world's largest spiritualist community, and she went to a message service, which is where people gather anonymously in the woods in Lilydale, and the medium stands at the front and just picks people at random and gives them messages. So it's not like, you know, you don't leave your name or anything. It's just it's all anonymous. And she went, and the medium picked her and told her details about my grandfather's death that proved to be true. And it went against the story that we had all been told. And we found out that this information was absolutely factual. And my whole family was just really shocked and surprised by this. And I, at the age of 16, remember thinking, how could somebody know something like this? And so I became interested in the topic. But then I studied photography and then became a professional photographer. And I was actually working as a photojournalist. And I wanted to find a project I could do in my spare time. So I thought I'd spend one summer in Lilydale, where my cousin received this message, and make, you know, a very straightforward documentary project about this quirky little town called Lilydale. And instead, I got completely drawn into spiritualist history and culture, and it's vastly important and also bizarre history with dialogue with the art of photography. And so that is what led me here, where I am now.
Which is taking spirit pictures. Why don't you just tell people what some of the pictures are about?
Well, yes. So I began my project just very straightforward, documenting mediums at work and the town of Lilydale and the practice of healing and certain spiritualist objects like the precipitated spirit paintings. And I was working, like I said, very straightforwardly as a documentarian. And then I began to have a few happy accidents with my camera, meaning things that happened that I wasn't expecting, but that were interesting in regards to what I was photographing. And at when that started to happen, I was also at the same time becoming frustrated because a lot of what I was photographing was invisible, meaning, you know, when people were talking to spirits, you couldn't see them. So how could you photograph that? And I became, so I kind of brought the two together, meaning the happy accidents or the chance elements of the photographic process, I kind of tried to bring in as much when I was trying to photograph things that were invisible. And slowly it became more of an art project and one that was very experimental and working with mediums very intensely with the camera and using long exposure or allowing, you know, just leaving the shutter open and see what would happen or inviting other forms of chance occurrences into the frame. And that became a very powerful way to visualize these invisible happenings. And sort of working with that, and now I'm compiling it into a book finally that'll show the progression. It documents very straightforwardly a lot of spiritualist history, but then also shows the mediums at work and with my experimentation colliding with their mediumship.
Yes, and I would also note that some of your photographs are things like of physical mediums cabinets, which are all very, very different and unique. And you photographed spoon bending and all kinds of different phenomena, table tipping, that has occurred or occurs in the process of seances. So the photographs are really, really interesting. So why don't you tell us what your website is so people can go and look at them for themselves.
Okay, yes. My website is my name, shannontaggart.com, TAGGART.com. And there's a short video intro to my work, and there's also links to where you can purchase my book that is now on pre-sale. And it's at a site called unbound.com. And as soon as the pre-sale is over, the book will go into production. And it's going to be a lavish 300-page full-color book of many of my photographs. There's going to be a wonderful essay by Eric Davis, who wrote the media studies cult classic Technosis. And there's going to be some other contributors as well. And I should have more announcements on that upcoming soon. So if you go and purchase the book, you can follow the updates, and or if you want to ask me a question, you can send me an email at my site too. My email is there as well.
Yes, and that reminds me, if anybody does have a question, we will be taking telephone calls. The lines are open, so you can call 800-930-2819 if you would like to talk to either Shannon or myself. So, yes. The images that you've done are amazingly interesting. I've had the privilege of showing them at the Spirit Art Gallery. In fact, we have a few of them up here now, and the focus is on the topic of ectoplasma. So, Shannon, why don't you tell us a little bit about what is ectoplasma?
Okay, so, ectoplasma is I would call it a sacred substance for spiritualists. It's a substance that is said to be both spiritual and material, and that it can make changes in the physical world. Now, if anybody's familiar with the vintage spiritualist images, that shows the classic white streams of ectoplasm emerging from bodies and turn it morphing into forms and looking very much like photographs at times. Sometimes it looks like cheesecloth. Sometimes it looks like a waft of white. And I was, when I started photographing spiritualists, I was wondering, were there any spiritualists still trying to work with the substance of ectoplasm? And what I found was a lot of spiritualism had kind of abandoned the Victorian era practices of physical mediumship and kind of started to focus on the clairvoyant style, much like you, when I try to explain it to people, it's like much like you see on the television with like the Long Island medium or the Hollywood medium, where it's just, you know, people in a room in white light. But the first seances were done in the dark, and the Fox sisters, who are the, were the first spiritualist mediums, began with knocks, which is a form of physical mediumship, the knocks, the percussion. So I kind of was curious, were people still using ectoplasm? Did people still believe in ectoplasm? And I found out the answer was yes. And it took me, go ahead.
I was going to say, we'd hold the answer because we're about to go into a break. But yeah, the answer is yes. People still do ectoplasm today. And we will continue talking about ectoplasm when we come back. But first, I'm going to remind everyone that you can call us at 800-930-2819. And that's if you have any question for Shannon and myself or a question about ectoplasm. So stay tuned.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
Have you ever said to a friend, "I am trying to be less stressed. I am hoping to meet someone special." Or how about, "I am working on getting a job I love." Hi, I'm Eve from Elite Tarot, host of the weekly show Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. Words like hoping, wanting, and trying may seem innocent. However, they carry with them emotional weight that actually blocks energy. Next time you start to say these words, say instead, "I am becoming less stressed. I am looking forward to meeting someone special. I am pursuing a job I love." While your brain may resist, note how your body physically feels as possibility of success suddenly appears. As an intuitive coach and professional tarot card reader, I work with clients worldwide on using energy effectively to embrace joy. If you'd like to schedule a session, please visit my website at elitetarot.com. That's ELITETAROT.com.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature, or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Tune into the wisdom of your soul for guidance on living a joyful life. On Soul Wisdom Radio, Wendy will provide inspiration to raise your vibration and connect with your higher self and guides. Learn how to balance your ego and to progress spiritually on Soul Wisdom Radio with Wendy Rose Williams. Visit wendyrosewilliams.com or Transformation Talk Radio to learn more about a healing session with Wendy and her events and publications.
We're back on the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. But before we continue, I want everyone to know that you can call in your questions, and the number is 800-930-2819. This show is sponsored by the Spirit Art Gallery, www.spiritartgallery.net. And my guest today is Shannon Taggart, and we are talking about ectoplasm.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So you were asking me what it was, and I said that it was a substance that is both spiritual and material, but how I usually, when I do it, my talks about my work, how I usually begin is to say that most people, myself included, the first time they ever hear of ectoplasm is through the movie Ghostbusters. And because, you know, the ghost spews ectoplasm at the Ghostbusters, and even though it's a green slime in that movie, the Dan Aykroyd, who co-wrote the movie, is using the term ectoplasm. He's drawing it from spiritualist culture because he is a fifth-generation spiritualist, and not very many people understand that. So that's like a way, a starting point for most people to wrap their brain around ectoplasm, because it's a very kind of shocking and confusing thing, especially when you see the images, because the images are some of the most absurd and bizarre and uniquely unsettling images within the history of photography. And, you know, some people are fascinated by them. Some people are put off by them. You can't not have some sort of reaction to ectoplasm.
Yeah, I mean, what's really interesting is at the Afterlife Research Conference that I was just at, there was a gentleman who was showing photographs of materializations of people made of ectoplasm, and they all looked like they had these long, like, robes on, so it was really kind of strange to look at them. They had long robes, and a couple of them had black beards, so it can look unusual.
Yes, and I guess I should also mention ectoplasm is a very controversial topic within spiritualism. You know, many of the spirit photographs have been, you know, spirit photographers have been accused of being frauds. Some have been busted as fraudulent. Some have not. There's lots of physical mediums who've been accused of fraud, who said they were producing materializations with ectoplasm and were caught staging things. But there's also mediums who were researchers felt were genuine. There's also mediums who combined both into a thing called mixed mediumship, which is kind of confusing. And the controversy does not end, because it's a big point of contention whether or not this is a way forward for spiritualism. It's one of the big, I think, questions for modern spiritualists: is should they abandon these practices, or should they embrace them and bring them back? And
yes,
you, as a spiritualist, what do you think of that question? I'm curious.
Well, I think that there are some people that are bringing it back. I think it's coming back in some different ways. What I find really interesting is how spirits using computers and telephones and electronic devices to bring forth their messages. So, I mean, I think this all goes part and parcel with it. But unfortunately, when you get a medium who's charging lots of money for a performance, they're probably going to use some magic tricks in the act in some way, because you can't say that it's going to happen every time, you know, you want ectoplasm to show up. So,
right.
But I do think that it is an art that there are a number of people that are trying to develop. And I know with the Afterlife Research Conference that people were, again, forming circles, and they were encouraging individuals to form circles to try to create ectoplasma. So I think it's coming back into fashion a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think now there's more interest in it now than ever, it seems to me. I mean, when I first started photographing in 2001, I could not find anyone or anything. But now it's like the media, many of the mediums who are dedicating themselves to physical mediumship seem to live overseas. Most of them live, as I've met, in England or Europe or I think Australia. That's where I've found most of the interest. And now they travel to the United States and do seances. But when I first started, nobody was traveling that I could find. And the only place that was kind of, that I knew of that was keeping the tradition alive was the Arthur Findlay College in England. Seems that in maybe the 60s and 70s, many of the spiritualist camps in the United States abandoned the physical mediumship practices because it was got so convoluted, and there were people doing magic shows for tourists. And so they just said, enough's enough, we don't need this. But the Arthur Findlay College in England kept the ectoplasm seance alive through the mediumship of Gordon Higginson, who was the principal there. And I guess we should introduce Arthur Findlay College then, Sue, right?
Yes, I think maybe we should tell everybody what that is.
So Arthur Findlay College is a spiritualist learning center. It's located in Stansted, like right near Stansted Airport outside of London. And I'm not sure if maybe the 40s or the 50s, Arthur Findlay left his home to the Spiritualist Nationalist Union to be used as a learning center. And the way I like to describe it, just because it gives people a real visual sense, it's kind of like a Hogwarts for adult spiritualists. It's a big, beautiful English manor, and there's classes all year, probably
you have to wait.
Per week. Oh, wait.
Yeah, no, the dog has to wait, not you.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, and people, when I found out about this place, I could not believe that it existed, the Spiritualist College. And there's classes in trance mediumship. There's classes in clairvoyant mediumship. I mean, spirit art, inspired speaking, anything that you can think of, there is available there as a class. And Gordon Higginson was the principal there from, I think, the 1970s through the 90s. And he was doing ectoplasm mediumship there. And I'm not sure if they were public or private seances, but he did until he died. And when I was looking for physical mediumship, I actually found a class at Arthur Findlay College that I did take in physical mediumship, and that was in 2003.
Yes, I've taken several classes there on physical mediumship also. Yes, and since then, there's a bunch of people. But I also have to tell you is that I discovered that there are groups of people doing it in the United States, but they're not doing it publicly. I mean, it's private people that are doing seances and getting things like direct voice, where spirit forms an ectoplasmic voice box and brings through the voice of a loved one. So there are people that are doing it, and it's even on a kind of homegrown level. So it's just that they don't talk about it, and they don't publicize it as much as they used to in Victorian times.
Yes, and I think that's true, that there's always been home circles. But England, the English medium seem to have like really kept this Victorian seance kind of spirit alive. And in the 90s, there was actually a society there in England called the Noah's Ark Society, mm-hmm. Which was dedicated to bringing these practices back. And it also led to Well, the one of the people who founded it was a man named Robin Foy, who was involved with the Skoll experiment in England, and that kind of led to an explosion of technology and mediumship known as instrumental transcommunication, or ITC. And then that exploded, and I guess that use of technology is also a different form of physical mediumship, and seems to be the English spiritualists who've really kept these practices going.
Yes, and I would also add that Robin Foy is now trying to set up a center in Spain to study physical mediumship.
Yes, he has a crowdfunding right up, and maybe we can put that in your show notes, where if you donate £20, you can become one of the founding members of the society and get the updates. And he's been publicizing that.
Yes. Yes, a lot. And so, yeah, so there are more activities these days that are going on with physical mediumship, and it's something that people can definitely find out about and possibly see if they're willing to travel to one of these places where there is a physical medium, like the Banyan Center. I shouldn't mention
these wonderful... He's a wonderful physical medium, and
so you can travel to England to see him working. And unfortunately, we're coming up to another break, so we have to hold whatever thoughts we have and tell people you're listening to the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. You can call us at 800-930-2819. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Welcome to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat Basile, the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am so thrilled that we've created this venue for all of you out there.
Dr. Pat Basile will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
What we have heard is that you want to ensure for us that we keep positive, holistic, uplifting, transformative talk radio on the air. We're excited to bring you the contemporary conversations about Lyme disease.
We promise not to let the light fade on Lyme.
So fasten your seat belts. We've got lots more to share with you in the weeks to come.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio with Dr. Pat and help keep our mission strong on transformationtalkradio.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Hi there, this is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio. If you've listened to the show, you know I talk a lot about listening to your body. Here's the deal, listening to your body takes quieting your mind, and I want to teach you how. Actually, we're going to start right now. Take a deep breath, a truly deep breath, all the way to the top of your inhale, and then exhaling to the very bottom of your belly, breathing. Feeding your body the oxygen and fuel it needs. This is the first step in listening to your body. There's more, but it's so easy. I want to share a quick meditation with you to help you instantly reconnect with yourself and listen to your body. Simply go to audreymichelle.com/tips and download it for free today. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled michelle.com/tips.
Tune in each month to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life. what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
The Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. The phone lines are open for your questions. Call 800-930-2819. And I'm talking to Shannon Taggart. We've been discussing ectoplasma, but now what I want to know is, what is the most unusual experience you've had shooting a spirit photograph?
When I began photographing, I began photographing as a straightforward documentarian. And the first kind of happy accident I had with my camera was, I was in the Lilydale Museum, and I made a picture of the woman who was working in the museum, and I shot a whole roll of her. And on two of the frames, there was this huge, gigantic purple orb right on her shoulder next to her face in two of the frames. And I had never gotten anything like this before. And it wasn't lens flare. And it wasn't, I couldn't really tell what kind of a photographic artifact it was. And it was very strange. So I printed them and brought them to her. And she looked at the pictures for a minute and said, "Oh, that's my husband, Bob." And she assigned this meaning to this photographic anomaly that I couldn't explain. And I had never thought of using the photographic process like that before. So that's when I started to experiment and kind of try to break down the rules and not be so straightforward, and to see if I could get some effects that resonated. And so I was playing with that kind of a thing for a long time. And one of the other things that happened was like an accidental, I was photographing a woman in trance, and everybody in the room was observing a face that looked like hers but was not hers right next to her face, and we could not see this face with our eyes. And I actually tried to make a very straightforward image of this woman in trance, and when I got the film back, there was a double face, exactly as everybody was describing what they were seeing clairvoyantly. So I said, okay, maybe I should loosen up here and kind of experiment and play and see what happens. So I was going along that way, and I've had a lot of really exciting kind of photographic synchronicities since, but some of the most astounding photographs I've made, I've made a really incredible one of Yusu while you were in trance.
Yeah.
But some of the ones that had the most resonance for me were of a physical medium in England named Gordon Garforth. Now, Gordon does a seance where he says that he can make his hands enlarge with the spirits help him with ectoplasm. And when he told me this, I thought, oh, this is never going to happen. I'll sit in the seance and I'll make pictures, but I doubt that that's going to happen. So I sat in the front row, and he allowed me to photograph, and his wife said, okay, now Gordon's going to work with his hands. And he put out his hand, and there was a light on a table, and he moved the hand, and he was wearing a short sleeve shirt, and it wasn't a prosthetic. I don't know what happened, but he just moved his hand, and it just effortlessly skipped into this gigantic form. And I actually screamed, and which is a very impolite thing to do in a seance. And then everybody else started screaming, and I couldn't tell if they saw the hand too, or if I had hypnotically rendered this hand, because in seances you sit under a red light, a dim red light. And, you know, sometimes your eyes just kind of transform things. And so I thought for sure there would be, and on my image that I took, there would be a small hand. But then I looked at the picture, and there was this gigantic hand in the image. And so when I show that picture, spiritualists say, oh, that is proof of ectoplasm. And the skeptic says, that is obviously a magic trick. And the people in between say, well, maybe that you know, maybe you hypnotically rendered that hand and then your camera shutter accidentally made an exposure that looks like a big hand. It doesn't bother me when anybody thinks of the pictures. I actually like that there's an interpretive element to looking at that image, but that was one of the most shocking experiences of my life, really, seeing that hand expand.
Yeah, well, I should also note that that first image you were talking about with the orb in the picture, I mean, now orb photography is really popular topic. I mean, there have been a number of books written about it, and people go out and shoot orb pictures regularly.
Yeah, people say, I mean, I guess, you know, in the photography community, a lot of, like, for example, a lot of the official history books have cleansed the whole moment of spirit photography out of those texts. And I never learned about spirit photography or any of those practices through the history books I studied from. And so there's kind of like a disconnect between the photography community and the use of photography for spiritual uses. But so people would say there's no such thing as a spirit photographer now, but I would beg to differ that there are many orb photographers who have a very serious practice using orbs, which I guess I should describe what an orb is. And this has kind of evolved into the digital age, and I think it's because people have cameras, you know, they have more access to quick images, and they can work on them in the computer, but and some people say that orbs are more likely to happen with digital cameras, but they're small balls of white light, and they're not made by rain. Some people say that they are dust. There's a lot of back and forth about what exactly orbs are. Orb photographers are not concerned with this. They're concerned with how the orbs respond to them when they're creating the pictures. So an orb photographer, who I would consider the spirit photographer of today, the standard spirit photographer of today would be orb people who are experimenting with orbs. They actually take many pictures where they ask the orb to appear in certain patterns or command them to do certain things or try to invoke, get one orb to two orb to three orbs, and that sort of thing.
Yes, but I would also add that in some of the orb photographs that I've seen, when they blow up the orb, you can see a fairy or a face or an image inside the orb.
Yes, I actually just took an orb photography class with Teresa Schaefer at in Lilydale, and she was explaining to me that they do zoom in and they can see faces, and she showed some absolutely stunning examples. But also there's a mandala-like connotation to the orb, and sometimes they see mandala-like patterns within the orbs too. So they are zooming in and kind of trying to decode what they see within the orb too. Yes, it's part of the practice.
Yeah. So let's get back to your photography. What do you think is one of your most unusual pictures?
One of the most unusual ones actually happened again with Gordon Garforth. And we were in a different kind of a setting where he did a trance under a green light. And he said, when I go into trance, my face changes and you'll see a lot of different people kind of wash over me. And so I made a lot of pictures of him. And, you know, they were long exposure, but he did look different in many of these pictures. And there was this one picture I had of Gordon where he looked like he has a clean-shaven face, and he looked like he had this, like, Hitler-esque mustache, like a small, you know, it was actually thicker, but, like, you know, like a shorter mustache. And I was actually afraid to show him the picture because, it looked a little bit like Hitler. It was a little scary. And I did show it to him, and he's like, oh, I love this picture. And I couldn't understand why. And then he took me to his house and showed me a picture of his great-grandfather. And it was this exact identical spitting image of this image I made of Gordon in trance. And when I show that picture, people really get stunned. That, I think, I usually get the biggest reaction from that picture showing that as a diptych, the picture of his grandfather, and then the one I took of him in a trance. So that was one of the most eerie kind of, I mean, it's really an amazing photographic synchronicity.
Yeah, but I would also add that some of the pictures that you get do have a quality to them where things show up and there's stuff going on that I'm sure somebody else standing next to you taking the same picture would not receive.
Yes. I'm actually, that's something I'm very interested in how consciousness, specifically the way the photographer's own consciousness kind of embeds itself into the photography. And, you know, even the most straightforward photographers do acknowledge that the photographic process does have a magic to it. And there is something that you're playing with. I mean, you're playing with light and time and automation, and it doesn't always behave the way that you want to. There's some true mystery to the process, even when you're trying to use it in a very straightforward manner. And so I'm just trying to, like, take this inherent photographic mystery and kind of take it to the nth degree and push it as far as I can and experiment as much as I can. And some people find the images disturbing. Some people find them beautiful. I definitely, though, do get a reaction usually from them, especially the red and black light images, which sometimes can be, you know, the colors red and black kind of just to us visually have a sort of demonic kind of interpretation to them. But I tried to explain, when you're in a spiritualist seance, it is not scary. It's actually very peaceful and wonderful.
And let's talk about that in our final segment here. We have to go on another break. Our phone lines will be open. Call 800-930-2819 if you'd like to talk to us. And with that said, we're going to go on break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some more seances and things that you can't photograph. Okay, we're on break.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Tune into the wisdom of your soul for guidance on living a joyful life. On Soul Wisdom Radio, Wendy will provide inspiration to raise your vibration and connect with your higher self and guides. Learn how to balance your ego and to progress spiritually on Soul Wisdom Radio with Wendy Rose Williams. Visit WendyRoseWilliams.com or Transformation Talk Radio to learn more about a healing session with Wendy and her events and publications.
TheAngelLady.net.
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 TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790. Sue Storm. Sue Storm. TheAngelLady.net.
Live your magnificence, for the love of joy is a precious gift offered to us by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. He takes us on an incredible 30-day adventure to expand our minds and hearts with the nectar of life, love, and joy. This book will help you bring more joy, love, health, abundance, adventure, romance, and magnificence into your life.
And we're back. We're back on the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes, and my guest today is Shannon Taggart. And we were just beginning to talk about how some people think the red lights in her pictures are scary or demonic, but in contrast, seances are really designed to be healing. Would you agree, Shannon?
Yes. Some people find, especially the unsettling that a medium is trying to transform their body into some other manifestation, but it is all mediumship really is in the effort of healing grief, and also to prove the continuity of life. Wouldn't you say, Sue? I mean, how would you describe the purposes of the seances?
Yeah, no, the purpose is a spiritual one. I mean, the purpose is to try to bring through a realization of the continuity of life and to try to bring through some spirit voices or images of departed loved ones. I mean, you've got the precipitated paintings, which are all paintings of deceased people. And in fact, Ron Nagy just told me the story. He's the director of the museum in Lilydale, of a woman who had someone drive her all the way to Lilydale to see the Bang sisters so that they could create a precipitated painting of her husband, because one had not been done while he was alive. And then they took the painting, she took the painting back to Pennsylvania and hung it in a library that was dedicated to him.
Oh, interesting.
So it was a very interesting story, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, mediumship is about healing, and the seance, room is just a different way. It's just a different aspect of mediumship. I mean, you can do clairvoyant mediumship just in the regular room, but the seance room is a dedicated space to try to create physical effects to bring about healing. And it actually... really, the roots go back to Native American ceremony, really. And although we're not certain exactly what the beginnings were, but Native American ceremony, they used in their shaking tent ceremonies, they used a device called a conjuring lodge, which actually looks very much like a medium's cabinet. And the shaking tent ceremony is for healing too. And then there's also the Uwipi ceremony, which I have not yet been to, but maybe Sue, can you describe a bit about the Uwipi ceremony?
Yes, I've been to several of them, and I can't remember. There are stages in the ceremony, and the entire ceremony is dedicated to healing. So a good part during the ceremony is, the medicine man, we all have to make prayer ties so that you bring something with you. And the prayer ties are kind of put around the room to make like an altar. And then the medicine man is wrapped up in a blanket. He's tied up and he's lying down flat in the center of the room. And probably one of the most amazing things is they get quartz rattles so that when you shake them, you can see light coming from the quartz. And these rattles come and will tap you on the head and tap you in places where you need healing. And that's one part of the ceremony. There's also singing, and there's messages that are given to different people in it. It's quite elaborate. It is a different tradition. I would say that instead of spirit guides, the Native Americans talk about their relatives and how the relatives help them. And, of course, they're always giving praises to grandmother and grandfather. But unfortunately, the Indians will not let us write about the Uipis, and they won't let us photograph them either. So if you go, it's just purely for your own experience.
Yes, yes. And I see a lot of correlation between the Native American traditions and the early spiritualist seance practices. And in fact, many spiritualists have Native American spirit guides.
Yes, yes. But that, see, then it makes sense, because I actually believe the Native Americans were doing this before the spiritualists. And I did write an article about this for the Psychic News many years ago. That was a featured article on the Indians and the Americans, because they wouldn't let me write about the Uipis, so I had to write about the Indian relationship to spiritualists in general. So
yeah, that's very interesting. And doesn't Lilydale have ties to Native American culture?
Yes, it does. Actually, the grounds that Lilydale were built on used to be Native American ceremonial grounds. So there's that influence there. And, of course, as you said, a lot of people have Native American spirit guides, which makes a lot of sense, because they were doing the types of phenomena and things, again, without the white man knowing anything about it. In fact, historically, what happened, I believe, is that they were doing the Uipi ceremonies, but when they started conquering the Indians in the Midwest and out west, especially in the Midwest, the Lakota Indians, they made them stop doing all of their ceremonies. But of course, some of them went underground and continued to do them. And they forced the Indians to go into, like, Catholic schools or private Protestant schools or things like that, and wanted them to become Christian and were not interested in what they did. So seeing the Uipi is a little piece of history.
Yes, yes. And it's rare to be invited into such sittings. So it's great that people still do, are still doing that tradition and inviting people to take part. It's really important.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, you know, as I said earlier, there are physical mediums around. You do have to kind of hunt and search for them a little bit, but they can be found. And you can witness ectoplasma for real. And you know what? Somebody invited me, because you have to be invited, to touch it. And I just wouldn't, because it just looked too mucousy. And I thought, oh, it doesn't look really nice.
That's funny. Most people would jump at the chance. But can you maybe explain a little bit? You have a great definition of describing what transfiguration is. And that's when under the red light?
Yes. Okay. The difference, there's two things, transfiguration and overshadowing. Overshadowing is when the shadows and highlights of the lamp make the person's face look like it's changing, where overshadowing is when the ectoplasma forms a mask over the face and then starts to create a second face on top of it. That's transfiguration. Yeah, with the ectoplasma, it's transfiguration. Without the ectoplasma, it's overshadowing.
Right, and this spiritualists describe ectoplasm as something that can be invisible and work as a force, or it could be visible, like the white stream.
Yeah,
right?
And things can be made out of it, yes. And with that, we are out of time. So, yes. Yeah, it's been great fun having you on the show. And I look forward
to
seeing you in person soon. And I want to thank you just so, so much for talking about this. And you've been listening to the Psychic Professor Show. Please join me every week at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Pacific, and 10 p.m. GMT time. And I'll be back again on next Friday. So have a good evening or day, whichever it is for you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Psychic Professor's Show with Dr. Susan Barnes, the Voices of Spirit Radio. Dr. Barnes' deep knowledge of spiritual issues provides an hour of lively talk and discussion about everything from historical facts to transcommunication. To download this show or any past shows, or to learn more about Dr. Susan and her spirit-inspired art, visit spiritartgallery.net.